Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Every day is filled with opportunities to express yourself. And with an everyday piece from Blue Nile, you can do it without saying a word. Blue Nile's collection of diamond jewelry is the ultimate statement, with sparkle that elevates any outfit. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, their diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Richie Firth Travel Hacker. I'm Richie Firth and I hack travel. Christopher, good to see you. How are you?
I am really well. I'm really well. Richie, I went for a dog walk in the park this morning with a cricket ball and my daughter, and we started the day bowling at each other. What could be
Fantastic.
A better way to start the day?
You were bowling a cricket ball at your actual daughter. Sorry, that's the wrong way around. An actual cricket ball at your actual daughter.
She's going through the process of learning to go from a softball to a hard ball. So
a proper cricket ball.
Yeah.
Wow, fantastic. She padded up on the dog walk. That's quite walk.
Well, no. To be fair, I was lightly sending it back to her, and then she had full permission to wang it down as hard as she could back at me.
Fantastic. That's great. Were you doing that walk in the Liberty Borough of London?
Well, Rich, good question. If someone missed last week's episode, maybe they need to go back and
we were talking about the new names of the London Overground lines, one of which was the Liberty line, because it goes through the London borough of Havering, I seem to remember, that it said was associated with Liberty. And we thought it was a nice name, but we had no idea. You particularly had no idea, because you spent a lot of time in the London borough of Havering, didn't really have much nice to say about it. You couldn't understand why it was called Liberty.
That's not entirely fair.
I think it's accurate. It's what you said last week.
As I said, the only people who are allowed to slag off that part of the world are people from there. So
yes, which is you, and you didn't have much nice to say.
I didn't say anything not nice. I just didn't say True. Anything nice.
Neutral.
I played it with a straight bat.
like the cricket walk.
Indeed. No, I cross-batted that one. loads to say on this, and I'm pleased to pick up on this conversation. So I have spent the week, partly through research, partly through chance, learning about Liberties.
As in the store in the West End of London that is expensive.
Yes, but I believe, do you still get a Liberty card for that, Rich? Such as a perk of that job? No, oh, that's
a shame. I don't have a card. My wife does.
Chocolate shop at Liberty, ground floor.
Oh, mwah. Fantastic. So
oh,
good.
Oh, my word. Oh,
that's
my
not
word.
What we're here for.
It's not. Sorry. Okay. So a Liberty is actually like a proper definition of a certain area which has certain autonomy and certain powers. And London and other parts of the country there are multiple liberties. So to take it back, a liberty, the definition of it is a bit loose. Some people have taken on a liberty to mean somewhere that has been given sort of special permission by the government or the crown, and that exempts them from, say, the rules of the surrounding administrative area. Mm-hmm. So in the area of Havering, that would have been either the Essex or the London Council. Yeah. But there are multiple ones of these in London. the Royal Liberty of Havering was an officially granted title. There was like a kind of posh seat at Havering Atty Bower, which is the rural bit up on the hill in Havering, where royalty stayed. And they got given certain permissions where they didn't have to pay certain taxes. They got certain rights, including the right that Romford Market in the borough, there was not another market allowed to trade for, I'm going to say 10 miles, I think it was, around there, because they got given this special royal exemption.
Wow.
And in London, there are multiple places that got this special liberty title where, because of their relationship with the government or the crown, they could get away with certain shit. And basically, so I, at the same time, I'm reading a book called Frightgeist. Yeah. It's by a guy called Dave Hill, but he writes under the pen name John Vane. And it's about a London mayoral election. And literally, after this episode was published, there was a bit where they were talking about the liberty of the mint. Mm-hmm. And the liberty of the mint is another one of these liberties, this time in central London. And in this case, it was interpreted that inside this small jurisdiction of what where there had been a mint building, and then it got knocked down, and then it was just basically an open space, essentially, the crown had no authority.
Oh, right.
And it became basically a den of iniquity. And so if you were wanted by anyone for prosecution for whatever crimes you had committed, political, criminal, otherwise, you could go to the Liberty of the Mint and essentially escape any prosecution. And it became, therefore, basically well dodgy.
And does that area still exist, and can we go there?
Geographically, it still exists. The area is still there and is current. It's in Southwark. It's currently under threat from redevelopment.
Oh.
But the law that may have applied then no longer applies now.
Oh, that is disappointing.
So you can't go and, like, you know, I don't know, rob a bank and then go and hide out in the Liberty of the Mint.
I don't think people rob banks anymore.
Good question. I mean, I've watched Money Heist. That happened.
But we're a cashless society. So right. What's the point in going to rob a bank?
Do they not still have reserves of cash and or... I mean, the proper banks in financial capitals will still have bonds, gold, stuff like that of
yeah,
value
but
in them.
I see what you mean. But no one's going to go onto Orpington High Street with a right. pair of pants over their head and right. say, oi, hands up.
I would have thought you're probably right.
Thank you. Oh, well, fascinating info about the Liberty Line and the London Borough of Havering. Well done.
Well, I didn't understand why it had this independent streak that they argued. Now I fully understand. It's because they were allowed to not pay their taxes and be well dodge. And they got a train line named after.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
To that.
Speaking of train lines, last week you told us that you had taken 7 trains in 4 hours, but you didn't tell us how you had done that.
Yeah, so it was over the Easter weekend when there were a lot of strikes. So I've got a couple of comments in it. One, the fact that it happened is quite miraculous, yeah? Mm-hmm. But two, I want to ask you a question of etiquette on trains,
okay.
which I experienced a number of times around it. So... I needed to get back to London on the Monday because I had to be in the office on the Tuesday. But there were major closures on the railway network. So I found a way. I was in Cheshire. Mm-hmm. I got driven to a small town called Kidsgrove. You're welcome to look it up on a map.
It's near Crewe.
It is near Crewe. Thank you. And from Kidsgrove, I got a train to Stoke. 5 minute wait, Stoke to Nuneaton.
Yeah.
5 minute wait.
Yeah.
Train to Leamington Spa.
Yeah.
5 minute wait, train to Marylebone. So I've got to London on all these trains with just a 5 minute wait in between.
And that's four trains.
It's four trains. Yeah. I've then got the Bakerloo line.
Are you including that as a fifth train?
I am. To Oxford Circus. I then got the Victoria line to Highbury and Islington.
Yeah.
I then got, now here's a test for you, the Overground, Rich, from Highbury and Islington to Homerton.
Yeah.
What's the name of that line?
That is the one that is named after the hospital, the charitable hospital, and it is the Mild May line.
Very good.
Yes.
Very, very good.
Well done, me.
Seven trains.
Impressive.
4 hours.
Yeah, well done.
Every single bit of the journey needed to work perfectly, because if I'd missed each of those trains, every one, there would have been another hour to wait.
Yeah.
So every time one of those trains went wrong, I'd have had another hour added onto my journey. And none of that
I can only imagine how smug you would have felt when you actually got there.
Now, I felt great. Now, I got on the train. I had work to get done. Lifted open my laptop. No power. Oh, shit. Now, one of the great joys of modern trains.
Yeah.
Power supplies on the train that you can use. However, not where I was sitting. And this happened on two of these first three trains. There was access to power, but not where I was.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the first person if I could reach my cable around them and plug it in at their point. Mm-hmm. And they looked at me like I was scum. And they were like, well, go on then. Go on then, sure.
Yeah.
But you could tell they were like, you piece of shit. The second person was like, oh, of course, please do, of course, help yourself. Which was the right reaction, Rich? What is the right etiquette of reaching your cables across people on a train?
Let's talk about the etiquette of a reach around. I think first off, so let me just find out, was the first person, were they using their plug point?
No.
So were you wanting to, like, extend your cable? Were you wanting to lay your cable across their lap?
Well, it could have been that they were able to just funnel it sort of down the side. Because I was at one of those, that they're on a double, but it was adjacent to me, who was on a single facing the other way across.
Yeah.
So we were at right angles to each other. So it could have gone round the side, which it did, and then across the side of their table. At first, the way they did it, they did make that point of sort of putting it on their table in front of them. And
they sound very awkward.
Yeah. But maybe I was like, you know, maybe they paid for that power socket, so it wasn't mine.
No. I don't. This is one of those rare occasions where I don't think you were being the awkward one.
Yes. Thank you. It's good to be like, I think you described me as your morality compass, gauge, check. I can't remember what you described as last week. And now you are mine.
Yes. No, I like that. I always like being asked for advice as well. I think when you ask someone for advice, it's a compliment, because you are basically saying to them, you are the font of knowledge. And that's what you've done to me. And I like that.
Okay. Can I throw something at you, Rich?
Mm.
There was a story in the news this week. And it was quite a complicated story. And I hope all is well off the back of it. We spoke about it, and it was the escaped horses.
Yes.
That broke out from somewhere near Buckingham Palace. I'm sure you know more of the detail than I.
It was the household cavalry, and they got spooked by some falling masonry on a building site. And they basically threw their soldiers off and went on a run through London from, as you say, pretty much near Buckingham Palace. And the two that got the furthest, And bless them, one of them in quite some way, I think, had to go to a veterinary hospital to have some work done. Not as in sort of like, you know, collagen and that.
But Botox and fillers.
Horse Botox. They got as far as Limehouse.
That's amazing. So for someone who doesn't live in London, give an example of the journey that is from Buckingham Palace to Limehouse.
It's quite a few tube trains for a start. I'd say that's if you were going to go from Buckingham Palace to Limehouse, public transport, you're looking at around about half an hour.
Mm.
Easily, easily. London Marathon wise, which has gone on recently, if you're just an average runner, that's right at the end of the course. That's probably a good 45 minutes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's depending on what state you're in.
Exactly, yeah.
It could be much more, yeah. So I was quite interested in this, and hopefully we will come on to a conversation about animals on roads, which is what I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh, there's a biggie. I heard a horse and cart go past my house earlier this morning, and it made me angry.
Well, good. Please, we'll come on to that. Now, I want to talk about the law around animals on London and UK streets.
Yes.
But before that, you in our conversation shot straight back at me that your dad is allowed to drive sheep over London Bridge. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So my dad...
This is bullshit, mate.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not at all. My dad is a livery member of the Royal Livery of Horners. In the city of Westminster.
Horners.
Yeah, the ancient livery of Horners.
What's a Horner?
I think they either made hats or shoes. Let's see, what did Horners
A
make?
Hat was a milliner, was it not? And a
oh,
shoe.
Oh yeah, so it won't be that.
And a shoe is a shoemonger.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
No, Horners made horns.
Stick with that. They made horns?
Yeah.
What?
Well, you know, like a horn, like a...
Oh.
I think.
Oh, that's very you.
So, so he has the right, because he's now a Horner, to be able to drive a herd of sheep across the bridge.
Sorry, just be clear. What gave him the right as a Horner to... How did he become... Like Chief Horner.
Well, he got invited by another Horner, I think.
So anyone who is a Horner
yeah.
can drive sheep across the bridge.
I think once you've been a Horner for a certain amount of time. I think it's not just them. There are all sorts of like liveries of the City of London.
Like the old guilds, like Skinner was a guild.
Absolutely, all those kind of things.
So yeah, I could it's do almost this as well. Almost could I?
Well, no, because Skinner is not as privileged a livery, and you're just a family member. You're not actually, and I don't think there is an ancient livery of Skinners.
There's the main, and maybe I don't know the difference between guild and Laura's just delivering me a tea.
Hello,
oh, lovely.
Thank you, Laura. Laura says hello, Richie.
Hello there, Laura.
Richie says hello back, and he says he thinks I'm great.
She left that hanging, didn't she?
Yeah, she doesn't agree.
Nice mug.
Thank you, Le Creuset.
Is that Le Creuset?
Yeah.
I've got that, but in a different colour.
Yeah, we've got it in sort of a charcoal grey as well.
Yeah.
Nice. If you're listening to this show in Patreon, you could also see the mug.
Yeah.
Carry on.
He can drive sheep over the bridge.
I just don't believe that's true, Rich.
No, it's true. It's one of those, you know, there's all sorts of ancient laws that never got repealed, and that's right. One of them. It might be on a certain day. It might be on a Sunday morning. I'm not sure.
Okay, so... If we go away, and maybe our audience can help us with this, if we can acquire A, sheep, B, your dad, can we please drive a sheep over a bridge?
Yeah. I tell you what. Let's first of all see if we've got some patriots, some listeners, some subscribers that have sheep. And if they do, get in touch, travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com. In the meantime, in between this episode and the next episode, I will find out from my dad on what days and what bridge he is able to drive sheep across. And then we'll put the two together and hopefully we'll be able to make it happen.
This is amazing. I love this. Now, can we go back to the subject at hand?
Which is the horses.
Yeah, I mean, I've done some research. You've probably done none. Let's find out. Are you allowed? Obviously, you see police, soldiers riding horses. You do get a little bit of horse and cart around our parts of the world as well. Mm-hmm. Mostly, I think, ridden by traveller communities, but probably others as well. What is what is stopping me pulling a goat up and down the high street, or riding, I don't know, a lion?
Nothing. Well,
maybe not okay. a lion.
Maybe, no, maybe not the lion. Nothing is stopping you walking a goat around town. I think there's an important thing to remind ourselves here is this is a podcast that is all about travel hacking. And I don't think anyone is going to agree that it would be a hack to walk a goat around. It's actually going to make your journey slower because mm-hmm. the goat is a very stubborn animal. But if we went back to horses, now a horse, you can ride a horse, and a horse is going to get you somewhere quicker. A horse doesn't have the carbon footprint. It does leave a messy old footprint if it's just had some lunch, but it doesn't have the carbon footprint. So a horse is a meaningful mode of travel. And I think as we look at decarbonizing our travel around the cities, some kind of, we've got the bike hire systems, maybe a horse hire system would be a really, really good idea.
Okay. I'm very confused here.
So you could have little stables around the city
that
you can go contactless and go, could I hire Shady, please? Shady being the name of the horse. It's a lighter coloured horse. And then you get on it, ride it to another stable, drop it back off, kind of like your Santander or your Lime bikes, as we were talking about in a previous episode.
Horse Tander, if you like.
Horse Tander, exactly. A limey horse.
Oh, yeah, okay.
What do you reckon?
I'm up for it. What about donkeys?
Once again, I refer you to my comments about goats. Donkey, very stubborn animal.
But I've ridden a donkey before. In fact, I got thrown off. Now, I think it was Skegness. It was one of the UK beach resorts in the 80s, Pontins. I was in the donkey derby.
Yeah.
And I was winning the donkey derby. And actually, to back your point up, I got thrown off.
Well, there you go. See, I think your donkey could be useful for freight. Because once again, you've still got to move goods around London, haven't you?
Right.
And your donkey is quite durable. So maybe your donkey could move freight around. Or this could be a courier.
Donkey couriers.
What do you reckon?
I'm up for it. If someone wants to come to us with a bit, if we can do like a kind of travel Dragon's Den,
yeah.
If someone comes to us and they pitch donkey couriers, I'm like, you've got all my money. You've got all the Patreon money. Let's do this. Let's do it.
Every donkey courier that's on the road takes off one of those moped madmen.
Moped madmen.
Mm.
When you say it, you just mean generically...
generic couriers that ride with their hands in great big gloved handlebars and just weave in and out of traffic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the problem is they're on the clock, aren't they? I do have some sympathy. They're paid bugger all, and they put their life and other people into danger.
Well, yeah, but they also put other people's lives into danger.
Yes, true.
Yeah, and a donkey ain't going to do that, donkey couriers. I think I've just got another dragon interested. Now choosing between loads of them.
Can I give you some facts around this? Because I think you have maybe...
facts around what, donkey couriers?
Because I think you have flirted with factual content with your trip down the donkey courier.
This whole podcast flirts with factual content.
5 stars. So, I've looked at a couple of websites here that have given me a little bit of information. And they do conflict with each other a little bit. So the Road Traffic Act of 1988 says that certain types of animals can be taken through the street. Dogs, goats, horses, cattle, donkeys, mules, sheep and pigs.
Cool. We're all still on then.
So, and I assume that accounts to London as much as it does to rural Warwickshire. There's another rule that says you can never ride more than 2 abreast. Which I think probably makes sense.
Yes.
But then I stumbled across, Richie, that home of truth that I'm sure you're very familiar with, given your past, the Bracknell News, which says that the Metropolitan Streets Act describes, and I'm going to try and get this right, back in 1867, Section 7 of the Act forbade cattle lovers and farmers alike to walk their prized livestock during the day, unless given permission from the Commissioner of Police himself, If you're caught rallying your previous bovine, your precious bovines down the street between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m, you would be committing a crime.
Well, you have to remember where Bracknell is, and we go back to these ancient laws again, right? Bracknell is basically Windsor. And yes. Who lives at Windsor? It's the Crown, okay? So they will have their own rules because they won't want like rural people parading their bovine when the Queen's out or the King's out. And it probably, that'll be why Bracknell has a different rule for the rest of the world.
So like the King or Queen sees a cow and goes, oh, mercy me.
There is a very famous meme of, God rest her soul, RIP Queen Elizabeth II, at a agricultural show, and she sees cows walk by, and she's very excitedly goes, "Oh, cows!"
Okay, I'm going.
Royalty has an issue with agriculture.
I mean, don't they, like, the Queen, like, owned tons of race horses, didn't she?
A racehorse isn't agriculture.
Oh, it's basically it's got four legs and eats grass in fields.
Yeah, I know, but it's not agriculture, is it?
Agriculture adjacent.
No, racehorses exist for the Queen, and well, it's not that she's not around anymore. Neither is her husband. But racehorses existed for them to bet on.
What happened to her horses?
I think Charles has got them now.
He doesn't seem like a horse guy to me.
No, well,
Camilla, however. I reckon I saw her down William Hill last week.
Charles always used to turn up at Ascot, but I think that was only because his mum said, "It's Royal Ascot, you're coming."
Right.
But now that he's got the main gig, will he go to Ascot and all that kind of stuff? Once he's better, will he go to Ascot?
Am I right? Is there a horse race called the King Charles Stakes that predates him becoming king?
Yes, I think there might be. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to Google that now. Hang on a second, King Charles Stakes. Oh yeah, the King Charles III Stakes. Oh, formerly known as the George Main Stakes. It's a thoroughbred horse race in Australia.
Oh right.
Oh no, there is a King Charles Stakes in Great Britain as well. Yeah, there is. Flat horse race, blah blah blah. First done at Ascot 1860, blah blah blah. It's been renamed a number of times, but it is now called that. The last name was the Golden Jubilee Stakes.
Okay.
So the race does exist, but it's not a historic race.
I don't think you can race horses on roads. I know that much. I used to drive along the south coast between Eastbourne and Bournemouth when I was at university and went past Fontwell Racecourse. And on the A27 at the dual carriageway there was a sign as you entered the dual carriageway saying, "No racing of horses."
Oh, what a great sign.
Yeah.
Oh, I love a great road sign.
It was fantastic. And I never saw, in all the years that I used to drive between Eastbourne and Bournemouth, I never once saw horses racing, let alone one.
Okay, so we now have a better understanding of whether or not you're allowed to travel around with a horse, which is, horses are fine. You can also travel around with some animals, but some of them only at night.
Yeah. So let's go back to travel hacking here.
Yes.
If you can do it at night time.
Yes.
All right, we've got the night tube. Could we have the night horse?
Oh, the night cow.
Or the night. The
so it's,
night
you're, it's donkey couriers in the day, yeah.
Yes.
Plus horse tandere.
Yes.
But at night, it becomes the night cow.
And they've got the slogan, "The only way to move."
Oh, fuck.
It's looking after itself. Dare you move with us?
Oh my God.
The night cow.
Yeah.
Frisian movement all around London.
You got any more?
I don't think so. Oh my God, I'm on a roll.
You deserve a pat on the back, Rich.
Thank you very much. Oh, hang on. Let me just take this phone call. This could be important. But keep rolling.
Is this midway for a show? You're taking a phone
call.
Hello
there. Yeah, good. How did you get on?
Why can't I?
Yes! Charlie, you're live on a podcast.
Oh, hello,
that is my son passing his driving test.
Hey! Charlie Firth, travel hacker.
Charlie Firth, travel hacker. Yes,
hey!
Indeed. Son, I'll call you back in a second. Very proud.
Many congratulations.
Well done. Bye.
But can he ride a horse?
I don't know. I don't think you have to take a test for that, do you?
I don't know. That's a good question. What if you're going to ride a horse on a road without a guide, can you just do that? Do you need to do like a cycling proficiency equivalent?
I think there's all sorts of loopholes, because I used to ride a motorbike without having ever taken a test or any lessons whatsoever.
That can't be the case anymore.
No, it's true. You can still do that. I'm sure you can.
This is bollocks.
But the thing is, the scooter had to be limited to 50cc and you couldn't travel above 30 miles an hour. But what you could do it as a loophole on your driving license. So I'd passed my driving license for a car, but I had no training whatsoever for a motorbike.
Interesting. Would love to know more about that if anyone has also driven without a license and wants to admit it.
I had a driving license
on record,
and I used that. I
on this podcast.
I have a driving license,
yep,
which I used,
yep,
a viable loophole,
yep,
to ride a 50cc limited scooter to.
You are just repeating what you said 1 minute ago. Yep.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Right.
And on that bombshell, we end this episode. If you would like to get in touch with us, travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com. We're on the socials at Richie Firth or at Producer Chris. You may want to comment about how much travel hacking actually has been going on so far in this new series. That's fine. I would argue against anybody that is calling that into question, because we have been talking about travel. You've just got to look for it.
I think we're doing all the groundwork for a great hack.
Yes, you definitely. Know. Horse Tandare coming up very, very soon.
Was that your sign off?
No, I don't think
you haven't finished. Oh, I thought that was your like final words.
No, this is the sign off right now. We'll see you next week.
Only if you're on Patreon, otherwise you'll just hear us.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Okay, we will drop into your life again next week. Yeah?
I loved it, mate. How much of this is staying in and how much of this is not staying in?
Well, that'll be down to you.
I think it's all staying in.
Travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to invest in goat couriers... Was it? It wasn't ghosts,
no,
was
donkey,
it?
Donkey couriers.
Donkey couriers. Then mark that in the subject.
We haven't found a job for goats yet. People are welcome to submit their ideas.